Money and Markets, the story of the week is Cyprus. We saw last weekend the European Union bailout be put to Cyprus, and Cyprus has now rejected it, and let's talk about what's really going on. Cyprus is a small island south of Turkey, east of Syria. It's right smack in the middle of a motherlode of natural gas deposits, which has great strategic importance for Europe, and because they do great strategic importance to Russia, Russia is the greatest supplier of gas and oil into the European markets. So Russia has a great interest in the natural gas deposits in the Mediterranean, and naturally the United States does, since our worldwide global reserve currency is in essence backed by an oil standard. And so Cyprus is sitting smack in the middle of enormous geopolitics between the United States and Russia and the strategic needs of the European markets. Now, Cyprus has a history, and the Cyprus people have a history of being quite feisty. The Templars at one point bought Cyprus from King Richard and had so much difficulty governing the Cyprus population that they sold it back after much bloodshed. So Cyprus has got that kind of history. Now we see Cyprus has become an offshore money haven, and a very significant amount of offshore deposits, various reports in the last 2 weeks, have been anywhere from 30 to 70 billion euro, with more than half, if not a significant majority, being Russian offshore money. And so Cyprus has suffered their economy, and believe it or not, one of the great instigators was Russia was sending explosions to Syria several years ago, and the U.S. Navy confiscated them, stockpiled them on Cyprus, and lo and behold, there was a huge explosion, caused tremendous damage to the power supply in Cyprus, approximately $3 billion of damage, and that was followed up by the Greek bailouts, with the Cyprus economy being very much tied into the Greek and the banking system in Greece. And so that economy has been hit hard, and sure enough, one of the things that Cyprus had done, of course, had become part of the EU. And the problem is when your economy gets hit hard, but you are on the EU currency, then you don't have the kind of monetary tools at your disposal that someone like a Ben Bernanke does. And so you can't just print currency the way that the central banks, certainly the Federal Reserve, can here. So we see a bailout proposal that came before the vote this weekend, and you have the IMF and the EU proposing to put a tax on bank deposits. Now, with a significant amount of Russian offshore money, at one point it was a two-tier proposal that would hit the offshore money much harder, but literally a 9% tax, you have a real targeting of the Russian interests in Cyprus. So this is more than just a straight financial bailout. This is very much geopolitics, particularly around natural gas and the Russians' position in Cyprus. But let's look at that 9%, because all week long I've been getting emails from subscribers and readers of the blog saying, well, wait a minute, are we the next to have our deposits taxed or confiscated? What's going on in the Cyprus bailout, to me, in one sense, has nothing to do with federal deposit insurance, and let's see why. Currently, it is possible to argue that our deposits are being confiscated at a tax of 9% a year. Shadow Stats, as I said last week, is now estimating that U.S. inflation is running at 9.6%. That's essentially a debasement of our deposits at the same, because let's say you're getting anywhere from 0 to 0.5% on your deposits. Essentially, that means your deposits are being taxed at a 9% rate now. But of course, the United States, because it can debase the currency, can do that in a way that the Cyprus economy can. And that's what I said about the difficulty of trying to run a nation when you don't control the currency. But whether you're taxed on a 9% direct tax or debased at a 9% inflation rate, the results one way or another is the same. The problem in the European Union, if you're going to debase the Cyprus population with a euro, you're going to have to debase the Germans. And, of course, this is what has been the whole issue between the North and the South. The Northern voters don't want to be debased, and so what is the EU to do? Well, this is the argument as to why, of course, you want to control your currency. Now the problem, the message, and this is why it was very surprising that that the IMF and the EU would do this, the message is if your offshore deposits in any of the countries that have financial difficulties, Portugal, Spain, and Italy, then in fact the EU and the IMF reserves the right to tax you at a 9% rate. So if you want to make sure to avoid getting in that tricks box, everybody should pull their money back home. Well, imagine globally if everybody pulled their money back to their home base, you would see enormous wrenching dislocations in the global economy, which is why all week long we heard talks about contagion. Now, one of the big questions is why in the world would Christine Lagarde at the IMF agree to all of this? Well, interestingly enough, 2 weeks ago we saw reports in the press that the rumors of investigation for criminal allegations relating to events long ago was once again on the table. After the bailout was refused, we see the French enforcement move in and do a search of Lagarde's apartment in France. Very unusual. You know, at this point, when you see this kind of global geopolitics competition targeting officials with criminal investigations, that's when you know the war is getting really, really mean. I've said it before, but people are going at each other. One of the officials in the Bush administration with me said, "It's like we're in a rubber lifeboat, and everybody's going at each other with razor blades." So what next? We see talk throughout the sort of both the financial blogosphere and the mainstream press. Will Cyprus do in Iceland? In other words, will they pull out of the euro and issue their own currency and pull themselves up with their bootstraps? Certainly that that tactic has been much more successful for Iceland than staying in the euro and going along with austerity has been for Portugal, Spain, or Greece. And certainly if you look at the anger and the strength behind the Cyprus population, they really have the wherewithal and the resources to do it. So it's going to be interesting to watch over the next week what happens. This is a very important story, both in terms of control of strategic resources that feed Europe and on the future of the euro. What it raises another very important question, and that is a question that we talked about last week, and you're starting to see that theme repeat itself in many different discussions around the economy. And that is, what is the role of government guarantees, and can government guarantees ultimately do any good in its economy if they make all the different players within the economy indifferent to the health of the economy? Because ultimately, with no health in the economy, how good can government guarantees be? So I don't think that the abrogation of the euro deposit insurance in Cyprus has direct implications for FDIC, but I think the deeper story has great implications for all of us, no matter where we are on planet Earth, and that is, if we don't individually and collectively take responsibility for the whole, and therefore the whole is never healthy, then the notion that we can escape from the ramifications of an unhealthy, whether it's an environment or economy, is absurd. Of course, we're all going to, in the end, suffer, and the notion that we can guarantee ourselves out of taking responsibility or bearing the ramifications of the absence of taking responsibility is, of course, absurd. So let me give you an example. Once upon a time, when banks would finance mortgages in a neighborhood, they would hold those mortgages on their balance sheet, and then the bankers in that area had a tremendous vested interest in the neighborhood being run well and not crime not being permitted, narcotics trafficking not being permitted. It was very important that the schools be good if the real estate values were going to stay up. So banks had a tremendous financial interest in making sure that the health and the vitality of the people in the community were sound, because that's how their profits were determined. If people were successful, if the real estate in the neighborhood had value, they made money. We switched to a system of government guarantees, so government guaranteed not just the deposits, but essentially guaranteed the mortgages. You bundled them up and sold them into FHA or VA or Fannie or Freddie, and the banks could keep making money even if the neighborhood went to pot. And so we stopped aligning the interests of the bank and the local financial system with the health of the people and the small businesses and the real estate in that neighborhood. Government guarantees built a non-alignment, and people stopped caring about the health of the whole because they could make money. In fact, they could make money on the neighborhood failing. So it's very, very important that we start to think about, okay, how can we individually and collectively take responsibility for the whole, because the only way ultimately that we're all going to be in an economically good position is if the whole is healthy and growing. Another comment that I wanted to draw from Cyprus, interestingly enough, this quote comes from one of Stratford's comments on it. He said, the global financial crisis of 2008 has slowly yielded to a global unemployment crisis. The unemployment crisis will fairly quickly give way to a political crisis. The crisis involves all three of the major pillars of the global system, Europe, China, and the United States. The level of intensity differs, the political response differs, and the relationship to the financial crisis differs. But there is a common element, which is that unemployment is increasingly replacing finance as the central problem of the financial system. So what is Stratford saying? Another way that I would say this is that uneconomic centralization rigged through government credit and force and government guarantees is part of creating very expensive externalities and lawlessness, which is, of course, bringing about lots of unemployment, which does ultimately collapse the economy. You know, the reality is, and one of the reasons the Iceland solution works, is we need law, we need markets, and we need a way to shift the economy in the face of disruptive technology, which is part of what's creating unemployment as well. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk tonight about the joy of deal doing is it's exactly in the face of this kind of unemployment and this kind of wealth destruction that it is that much more important that we build enterprises and activities that create income, that lower expenses, that create sustenance for people who are losing their jobs and forms of income in the old economy. Now, I say that's absolutely critical. At the same time, whatever happens on Cyprus, I believe it's unlikely to change the likelihood of a slow burn. As I said at the beginning of the year, I think very high chances that we're going to slow burn for 2013. There's tremendous fear-mongering on the Internet. Please just avoid it and turn it off. We need to keep things in perspective. There is one good piece of news. Partisanship, the latest read from Washington, will kill tax reform for now. Let me read you a few things from last week's Friday Kiplinger newsletter. More talk in Washington about tax reform, but don't hold your breath. The two parties' ideas about what reform means diverge wildly. Republicans want this, Democrats want this, and the window of opportunity is narrow. If neither side blinks by August, jockeying for position before the 2014 elections will close the opening till 2015. Even then, long odds of reform as the gulf between the parties will remain wide.